Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, the ever-living one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The words for our consideration in the sermon this morning are from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian congregation. We begin reading near the end of chapter 2 at verse 13. I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Paul writes, "But we ought always to give thanks to you, to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." So far, the sermon text. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. They are the truth. We pray that by them your Spirit would increase our faith, strengthen us, and make us ready for the eternal dwellings that you have prepared for us in heaven above. We ask today that these words would teach us about your steadfastness and your commitment to this cause, that you would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We ask today that you would strengthen us through this thought. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I've always been fascinated by the blacksmith's art. I don't know if you've ever been to a blacksmith shop, but I've always found it interesting how they work with iron and steel, which are such strong materials. They have a forge that they have a fire burning in, and they often have to pump bellows to heat the flames so that they're hot enough. And they put that iron, that cold black iron, in there, and it is heated until it's red hot. And they draw it out and begin hammering on the metal to make it into the shape that is needed. But you know what happens if they wait too long? The iron grows cold and it's too hard to work, and so they have to just put it back into the fire. And that's where we get our English phrase from: you have to strike while the iron is hot. On Pentecost, God pumped the bellows, and the wind rushed, and with it the Holy Spirit, and even that visible sign of his presence in tongues of fire. The Christian church was on fire, spreading throughout the world the message that came to them from God: your sins are forgiven. Repent and live. The Thessalonians that Paul was writing to, that congregation, they had believed the message, but they lived in the midst of affliction, amidst trials and troubles. And there was a temptation for them to be idle. You know, who rushes into affliction? Who goes looking for pain? I suppose some people do, but it's not normal for us to do that. And so there was the temptation for them to not do anything. Paul reminded them that the Spirit rushes forward to save, that we dare not wait, for the world is cooling to the message of Christ, and soon it will no longer be workable. The Lord has given us today, that's really at the heart of his message, he's given us today to give thanks for what God has done for us. He's given us today to pray that he would establish the work of our hands, and he's given us today to pray that the word may speed ahead and be honored. So this morning, just pause for a moment and think about what God has done for you. Whether you know it or not, or whether you acknowledge it or not, you have today, you have this day that we have today, you have it because the Lord gave it to you. Many of us are all too familiar with how quickly and unexpectedly life can cease. But we have so much more to be thankful for about this day than just the blessing of a new day. The Lord has given us so much. He has forgiven us our sins. That's the second important thing here. He's forgiven us our sins. We've wronged him. And in our weakness, even as Christians, we keep on wronging him. Think of how cold our hearts are at times to the needs of our neighbors, both earthly needs and spiritual needs. How they need to hear the gospel. Think about that. The good news that we hold so dear, that Christ is our Savior, that he was real, that he lived a life of perfection, that he gave that life and died as a substitute for us on the cross, the righteous one in the place of the unrighteous. He died for not just us, not just to pay for our sins, but even the sins of the whole world. Think about what a wonderful message that is. We know our next door neighbors need to hear that constant witness to the truth. We know that our unbelieving relatives need to hear of sin and grace, salvation and eternal life. We know it. And yet how often we pass up opportunities to do this, to make the good confession to them, because we fear strife, we fear affliction, we fear losing future opportunities to talk to them. We fear falling flat on our faces when we talk about Christ. But listen to the word. Hear the rushing Spirit of the Lord. He's not going to ever stop so long as one person yet remains on this earth to be saved from sin and death. The results, not up to you, not up to me, any more than the tongues of fire were the work of those early disciples. No, our attention shouldn't be on the results, but the gift. And when we hear God confess his great love for us in these words, when we see the lengths to which he went to give us the forgiveness of our sins and to make that known to us down through the centuries, then the fear of telling others takes a back seat to thankfulness. The Spirit's word then is ready on our lips, but the results forever remain up to him. What if his word seems to fail? What if we look with our eyes and see what looks like a failure? What if we ourselves fail his word? Well, remember that the Spirit is like the rushing wind. Who knows his ways? We know he's there. The scriptures tell us. We know that he's our spiritual breath that keeps us spiritually breathing and alive. But his movements, like the wind, are mysterious. We don't know where he came from or where he's going. And that's why Paul reminds us that we are God's beloved children and that we're able, therefore, to pray that he establish the work of our hands. When we see with our eyes what looks like a failure, we have the privilege of bringing that matter to the Lord as dear children to their Heavenly Father. And God has promised. Think of that. He's promised to hear us. He's not like some king, like a human king who can't hear all the petitions in one afternoon. He hears us all. And he is all powerful. He hears our prayers like the prayers of the petitions of a child to his father. And he's powerful to do what's best for us. And he's confessed his love for us. Think of that. When we pray that he establish the work of our hands, we're asking him to make our feeble efforts valuable. We're asking him to carry out that good wish that's in our heart for our neighbors and our relatives, that they would hear this gracious word of life and believe it. And that good wish springs from the faith that God has given to us, by which we know him and know his love. And we revel in it. We revel in that faith when things are going well. But also, he wraps his arms around us when all the world seems to be crumbling, because he loves us. And we need and want that real certainty, that real comfort for the people around us. And now is the time. Now is the time for speaking the truth in love. The time for praying that he would establish the work of our hands. And so we also pray that the word may speed ahead and be honored. This was Paul's prayer in our text. Sometimes we look back at how quickly the word of God's love in Christ spread in those early days. We look back and we expect to see forward progress in our days. Ask anyone which churches are doing it right, and they'll point to the big churches. They'll point to the ones that are growing quickly. Isn't that one of the first questions, if not the first, that people ask us about our church? Well, how big is it? How many people come to church? As if that matters. Since we can't see God's word and work, we can't see the Spirit doing what he does. It's within hearts. We only know of the wonderful growth of the early church because he's made it known to us. God's revealed the details to us in his word. So what should we point to when we feel the need to see the Spirit's work? Well, first we look to the presence of his word. We want to see, is God's love being proclaimed? Is the forgiveness of sins being pronounced to people? Are the sacraments being rightly administered? Second, we can look at how the Spirit is at work in us. We can consider how he is at work in our hearts. How he teaches us and confirms in our hearts that we have been saved by faith. And how he keeps us in that faith by his work through the word and the sacraments. Beyond that, well, we have to trust him because we can't see what he's doing with these eyes. We can only know by faith. But again, we're not powerless in a sense. Not at all. We pray, and that's powerful. We pray that the word may speed ahead and be honored. We pray this along with Paul, the apostle, and how God has heard that prayer. Just think about it. He's enabled our Evangelical Lutheran Synod, together with the members of the Confessional Evangelical Lutheran Conference throughout the world. And he's enabled other Christians, too, to bring his word to many countries, to many peoples, such that hundreds of thousands join us each Sunday in the confession of God's word. He's blessed this congregation in that regard. Think about it. Our service is heard in many countries. He's blessed you personally to have a wide audience of people to speak to about him. His word speeds ahead, and he will continue to make that happen until he's determined that this world is too cold and no longer workable. There may come a time, and it may be soon, I don't know, when the heavy hand of affliction will fall upon us who confess these things. But we continue to live with this promise. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. So when will that day come? Well, it'll probably be soon. Jesus says that the end of the world will be accompanied by signs of war and rumors of war, the growing sinfulness and selfishness of the human race, the degradation of God's creation. It seems like it could be any day now. The world is growing cold. So let us work while it is still day, while the iron is still hot. Let us speak faithfully. Let us pray while there is yet time, and let us rightly rely on Him always for the increase. And today especially, let us take comfort in the fact that we have God's promise of heaven. He's revealed to us, the believers who have gone before us, that they're there in those bright pavilions, no affliction, successful, triumphant, the work of their hands established forever. So as Paul says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all as the Spirit rushes forth to save. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.